Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Astros Baseball Podcast, the pre-opening day version of Astros Baseball Podcast. We're going to talk about a number of things leading up into the season. I've got Steffi with me tonight. And what do you think, Steph?
Hey, man. Honestly, I'm just excited for baseball. One sleep away. So super hyped for the season, ready to get things kicked off tomorrow against the Yankees. I think it's going to be such a fun time, and I can't wait.
You know, when you said one sleep away, and last week you said nine sleeps away, and I thought you said 9 weeks away, and I thought, what are you?
Well, I had someone tell me, they were like, technically it could be more than one sleep, because what if I take naps? And I was like, that's a valid point. But well, one that, real that would, sleep, if I can
that would,
sleep.
That would make it a lot shorter, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I will say, I don't even know if I'll get any sleep tonight, because that's just who I am as a person. When I'm super excited about something, it's like just no sleep vibes. So we'll see how well I do tonight.
How are you feeling, Wally? I'm feeling really good. Well, you know, the thing, we've said this over and over again, the best thing, and the guys on MLB radio said the same thing about this today, is we got out of spring training with no major injuries. Yeah, we had a couple of hiccups in the beginning. We had a close call with Urquidy, but Verlander threw 32 pitches, hit 95 today. Urquidy seems to be, you know, coming along. And we'd said this a couple of shows ago. The encouraged thing about Dana not going out and getting Michael Lorenzen or Clevinger is they must feel pretty comfortable about both Urquidy and Verlander coming back.
I saw kind of the update on Verlander, and I think it's so exciting that it feels like things are progressing well. It feels like he's starting to feel a lot better. And so, I mean, he's one of those guys that, I mean, he's been in the league so long, he knows his body better than everybody. And so the fact that he is, you know, feeling like he's getting back into his groove, hopefully we see him here sooner rather than later, especially because I have him on my fantasy team. So don't let me down, JV. No pressure. But
did you send him a note?
The Nemo touch the butts need to make sure that they get some really good starts from JV. And that is my team name. Cause I also,
well,
have
Nemo I on my team. I suggest you give him a DM on Twitter and tell him he's on the clock.
I'll message his brother and just be like, hey, can you let your brother know he's on my fantasy team?
Isn't it amazing that you were just not throwing 95, but 41 and throwing 95.
Crazy,
and he's changing speed so much better now. And, you know, let's see if he can pull a Nolan as he got into his 40s. Because you remember what really made Nolan a wonderful pitcher, not just a hard thrower with a 12-6 curveballs. When he came up with that changeup, and can you imagine Nolan if he'd had a changeup at age 30?
Oh man, I mean, I feel like him and Verlander are two guys who in the baseball world have really aged like fine wine and have just continued. Well, obviously Nolan is not playing anymore, obviously, but they just feel like they got better with age. And I feel like JV is one of those guys. But I think the fact that he's listening to his body and making sure that he's keeping the team informed to make sure he can keep doing that is huge. So
yeah,
I'm not mad at it, and I can't wait to see him on the field.
So we had a couple of games against the Space Cowboys. Retkoba pitched really well for the Space Cowboys on Monday night. The one thing that came away for me looking at those games is for our 29th ranked farm club, There are lots of guys, especially outfielders, who look like they're really ready. Not just Loperfido. Quincy Hamilton hits a home run against against Blanco in the first game. They've gotten Will Wagner. They've got some talent down there.
Yeah, I think that's the incredible thing is that, you know, as low as our farm system is ranked, it really is so stacked still. And there are so many guys that are chomping at the bit trying to get their chance to be on this roster. Because, I mean, you look at the roster, you see that there truly isn't any huge changes to the lineup from what we know of. I mean, as far as we know, the roster is fairly set with some possibilities. I know that they haven't 100% laid down the exact roster, unless it's come out in the past five minutes.
I haven't seen anything.
But yeah, so I mean, these guys are all waiting for their chance. And I'm sure we will see plenty of them up here sooner rather than later as well. Or some of them are going to be some really incredible trade pieces as well once we kind of get into the season. So it'll be interesting to see what Dana does because, again, we do have just a pipeline of talent. One guy that I'm super excited to watch a lot of, and I know I've mentioned him before, Kennedy Corona, I think is going to be a really fun one to watch too. Obviously Quincy Hamilton. I got to watch some of these guys in Corpus as well. So I don't go to a ton of games down in Corpus, but the few that I did make, those are the guys that you hear about day in and day out are Kennedy Corona, Loperfido, Quincy, Will Wagner. So I think it's going to be really exciting that we still have a really great pipeline of talent and, again, some trade pieces too.
Yeah, and we've talked about the one position we really don't have that makes signing Bregman so important is we still lack a third baseman. And was DeCenzo hurt in the spring? Because I didn't see anything from him.
I didn't see DeCenzo in the spring either. I know, wasn't he a – I think he was brought to major league camp to begin last year's spring training, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't really pay that as much attention last year, but I didn't see him. He didn't play this weekend or this week.
No,
he didn't. So he must, my guess is he must be hurt. He, you know, if someone has some information on that and wants to message in, please let me know and you can message in. And also, we love the questions we got last week. And if, just to remind everybody, we are available on Apple Podcast, YouTube. We'll be retweeting this onto Twitter. So please enjoy it, not just tonight, but after the show. The pitching looked good.
Yeah, it really did. Aside from that pitch that JP France threw that almost took off Altuve's head, I think JP just about had a heart attack. He thought he was about to get kicked off the team real fast after that
pitch. JP almost got traded to Oakland for a bag of balls.
I mean, and you could see Altuve like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my hand last year, it's my head this year.
I know. I think it would have been hilarious, though, if Altuve would have pretended to charge the mound. I would have loved to see that personally. Also, please excuse if I have blue teeth. I decided to drink Warhead soda right before the podcast, so let's pretend like I didn't
here's
eat a
the
Smurf.
Big question.
It's fine.
Here's the big question. If Altuve charged the mound, would JP have gone Robin Ventura on Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura on him?
Oh man.
Great baseball joke.
Oh,
Robin,
absolutely.
Robin Ventura has the record for getting the most hits off of Nolan Ryan in a single inning. He got six.
I love that. Ooh, bad luck. Brian has a comment. If we want to share that, I think that's hilarious. Brian,
how do you do the comments? Can you see it?
So you go to the comments tab and then you should be able to show it from there.
I don't see. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, working out some kinks, y'all. This is the preseason stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, I did what most 60 some odd year olds do. I asked the 30 year olds,
the millennial
technology.
I know I have to do it for my mom all the time. I'm actually my parents don't know this, and I hope my dad's not watching the podcast. If I am, Dad, close your ears. But I am flipping the switch on my parents this weekend and I am making them Easter baskets. So some of the things that I'm going to put in the little eggs, I'm going to make coupons for things. And one of them for my mom is like a free electric or not electric electronics session of your choosing. So, cause she's always asking me for help with her passwords and this and that. And like, I am truly her geek squad. So
Jaya, and I would say, Brian, he doesn't just owe him dinner. He doesn't owe him like a Subway dinner. He owes like a Papa Steakhouse dinner.
Oh, he needs to take him to, he should have taken him to Vic and Anthony's across the street like 10 minutes later and been like, Jose, I'm so sorry. I love it though. Brian always comes with the great commentary and I know we appreciate it, Brian. So thank you for always sending comments and questions.
Brian said some really nice things about us and other podcasters last night. And it was really appreciated. He didn't have to do that. It's very, very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we love doing this and it makes it really fun when we have people that enjoy it too. And also who get involved. We love hearing the comments. We love seeing all of that. So I'm definitely pretty excited. But I will say I was laughing because I have a Yankees friend who, when I posted about how we wanted comments and questions, he's like, how does it feel that y'all are going to lose 2 out of 3 at least this weekend? And I said, how sad is it that you don't even remember that it's a 4-game series? Do you even Yankee, bro? And we were having a good laugh.
The one guy. Awesome. Yeah. Before we move on, the one guy that really impressed me was Quincy Hamilton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quincy Hamilton. Not just that Quincy hit the home run. It's like some guys hit it, you see them, and they may perform, but it's like they don't have the countenance. Quincy Hamilton looks like he belongs. He gets up there. I think he stole a base last night. He really looks like he belongs. And for all those people that said, we've got to bring up Lo Profeta, he went 0 for the series.
Yeah, he was so exciting to watch. He reminds me very much of like kind of how Jolks, you know, last season was very much that guy that you looked at and you were like, he's just ready. He's ready to be on this team. I feel like he would slide right in. And I think that that's awesome. I will say my highlight of the exhibition games is I also snuck down to the Crawford boxes at one point. If y'all see me at games, I know I have a seat in 315, but I roam like nobody's business. Like I'm all over the ballpark all the time. So I went down to the Crawford boxes with some friends, and towards the end of the game, one of our friend's dad looks behind us. He like kind of just like gestures like this to us, and we look back, and there's Jim Crane and Reggie Jackson literally right behind us. And I 100% was trying to eavesdrop. So I'm like, but they were talking too low and it was really sad. So
I like Reggie Jackson. Someone asked Reggie Jackson.
He's awesome.
I think it was Howard Stern asked Reggie Jackson why he's with the Astros. He was on a Stern show, of course. And long story short, he said the Yankees just had him there as an ornament, an accessory. Mm-hmm. And Crane really values his input.
He really does. And I mean, I could not hear what they were saying, but you could tell that they were having a very deep baseball conversation while they were behind us, which is why I wanted to listen. I want to know things. I'm a chismosa. I need to know things. And they didn't let me hear it. And I was really sad.
Some of my favorite teams were the early 70s Oakland Athletics with Reggie and Joe Rudy and Catfish Hunter and Gene Tennis and Bert Campaneras, Holtzman. Man, those were some teams when, you know, they won 3 World Series in a row which will not happen anytime soon, probably.
Absolutely not.
And we're still waiting for the final roster to drop. I just checked a second ago. The only move that we've seen today, Steph, you want to talk about the one move that they made?
You can go ahead, Wally. You know more of the ins and outs of this one than I do. So
Penn Murphy was a reliever for Seattle. Seattle either cut him or traded him. He ended up with Atlanta. He had a Tommy John surgery, and the Astros picked him up off of waivers. They put Kendall Graveman on the 60-day, which you can only put a 60-day person on a 60-day injured list if you're adding somebody to the 40-man. So Penn Murphy is on the 40-man. So that actually kind of helps us because that gives us room in case, say, Lo Perfido wanted to come up, we could put Murphy on the 40 on the 60 day IL and put Lo Perfido in his spot or anybody's spot on the 40 man. Murphy was a guy that gave us fits when he was in Seattle.
I do remember that part of it, unfortunately. But no, I'm excited to have him on the roster. I think it's, I think it's a really solid move by the Astros. I know he's probably not going to be ready until maybe midseason, but to have a guy like that getting on there too. And, you know, I mean, we need all the help we can get. You can never have enough pitching, you know? So I think it's going to be awesome to have him on there. And especially too, when we know Graveman is probably going to be out for a good chunk of the season.
He's gone for the season.
Yeah.
He's gone for the whole season.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Corey Lee for Kendall Graveman, that's kind of a nothing for nothing deal right now.
At this point. Yeah.
But for the final roster, we still keep coming back to Jolks or Singleton, don't we?
Yep.
You got any thoughts on that one?
I almost wonder if they keep Singleton because obviously it gives them someone to back up Abreu at first base. And you look at Dubon, he could play pretty much anywhere, but he'd probably be a little more comfy in the outfield compared to first base, I would say. Jolks also has options, whereas Singleton doesn't. So I think that's kind of another reason you keep him, see how he does. And fingers crossed, he does great as a backup. But if he doesn't, then, you know, you have to make moves. I mean, at the end of the day, I want him up for the season. But at the same time, it's one of those moves where it's unfortunately a business too. And if you're not producing, you get cut. So I think it'll be interesting to see which way it goes. But I'm kind of wondering if it's Singleton specifically because of the options.
You know, my sense is you're probably right. Singleton is a guy that, you know, when he hits it, it goes a long way. He doesn't always hit it, but he also, kind of paradoxically, he always puts up a pretty good at bat. You never see him seem to be overmatched, swinging at bad pitches. I come back to the at bat in the playoffs last season when he just was very patient, worked a walk, understood what the job was at that time. You know, sometimes your job 100%. Is to try to knock it out of the park. Sometimes your job is just to turn the lineup over.
Exactly.
And Singleton, he has an idea. Sometimes the execution isn't what we would like. And just as far as a good news story, Singleton, you know, he did sign that $10 million deal number of years ago, but he only has a little over a year's service time. You know, for a guy like that who's stretching out the career, you hope that he can get, you know, as much time as he can get to be able to build that pension up. You know, he'll never get the 10 years max, but he seems to have straightened himself out, his life out, personal life out. And you just root for someone like that, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think that's why I have a super soft spot for Singleton. Love that guy. Love his family. I, you know, kind of knew them back in the day and I've reconnected with his wife here and there and she's amazing. And you want guys like that to win. You want them to be that next guy up and to see them succeed. I think it's huge. One thing I will say, Singleton, like you said, he's having a lot better at bats than he used to have back in the day. Again, still sometimes he maybe doesn't get on base, but his walk rate was up way high, I think, what was he with the Brewers before us?
Yeah, he went to the Brewers and they cut him in the Astros and the Astros picked him up on AAA.
But yeah, so with AAA, his walk rate had really started getting that walk rate up a lot higher, which seemed like it was why the Brewers brought him up at the time. And so hopefully we can see that from him, see a lot of really good at bats, see him, like you said, not swinging at bad pitches and just having really good at bats if he stays up. So again, he's one of those guys you definitely want to root for. You want to make sure that, I don't know, again, you want that feel good story for him, you know, and everybody. I definitely do as well.
From a baseball standpoint, he's the one left-handed batter off the bench that can
exactly
that can put a crooked number all up all by himself.
True. Very true.
You know, and you know, there one guy we didn't mention that can play first base is Kessinger. It looks like he's ready to go.
True.
So that takes up that one roster spot. One of the questions I asked on Twitter the other day was, you know, is it Kessinger, Jolks, or both? Because Kessinger goes on the IL. Looks like Kessinger's ready.
Yeah.
And he really gives, you know, he's kind of a poor man's Dubon.
You're not wrong. And it does look like we have another comment from Bad Luck Brian talking about Murphy. Going back to that, Murphy was an Astros killer until Peña hit the game winner in the 18-inning game and the 22 ALDS.
That's right. That was off Murphy,
crazy.
Wasn't it?
Crazy.
What a nutty game. But, you know, one of the things that was crazy about that whole 18-inning game was that they play the rules on one set of – play the game under one set of rules in the regular season and a second set of rules in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I heard Todd Callis and Blum talking about one night, they were not really in favor of the ghost man, the ghost runner on second to start the 10th.
Yeah.
They had a real good idea is go to the 11th or 12th, play it straight up until the 11th or 12th,
mm-hmm.
and then start off with a man at first, and then maybe a man on second, or start off with a man at second, say in the 11th, man on second in the 12th, maybe a man on third in the third or second, something, some sort of a progressive deal where you could get out of these 18 inning games in the regular season. They can just kill a team for 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, and this is a very random side story, I remember I had accidentally stolen my friend's lucky koozie during the 2022 ALDS.
That's kind of a contradictions in terms, isn't it?
Accidentally. To be fair, I traded him for a Dash koozie or a Dynamo koozie. I can't remember which one. But I was supposed to give it back, and then I just forgot is really what happened. Well, so
that's happened.
Yeah, so I'm watching this game, and I think I was at pitch 25 because I was doing a work event. And I was going to stay for the whole game. But then once it hit, like, I think the 15th inning, I was like, I'm just going to go home. This is going to be a really long time sitting here if I keep doing this. So I get home. And I told the koozie was at my house. My friend was like, you better put that koozie on your beer. And I kid you not, right after I put the koozie on my beer, like not even a minute later was when Peña got that hit. I was like, the koozie works.
We were in Austin watching a Iowa State Texas game. I think we started watching the game at, what's that bar downtown? It's been around for forever. Schultz's, at Schultz's Beer Garden. And then we went back to my friend's place that's in Circle C, and we still got to watch basically half the game.
Crazy.
Man, Louis Garcia does.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Louis Garcia does nothing else the rest of his career. He's got that to hang his hat on.
That's true. That's very true. And I will say the thing about baseball superstition, it's only weird if it doesn't work. I think it was like a Budweiser commercial back in the day, but it's so true. It's only weird if it doesn't work.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's kind of like Muhammad Ali. It's not bragging if you can back it up.
True.
2024 predictions. You're on the clock.
Okay. So you guys, what we're going to do right now, we're going to do some 2024 predictions. We're going to talk our Astros MVP, our Astros Cy Young winner, maybe also give a hot take or a dark horse for the season and kind of how we think this season is going to end up for the Astros. So I will start it off. I am going to say the Astros MVP this season will be Alex Bregman. I think Bregman has everything to prove in his last contract year, and I think he's going to take advantage of that, and I think he will be the MVP of this team. I'm pretty excited. Cy Young. Man, who do you even go with for the Cy Young? I'm going to say Ronel Blanco. I think that it's his first season, and people haven't seen his stuff yet. And that's going to be huge for him. But then if he can continue to develop, continue to make sure that he has a good game plan going into these games. But I think, too, if he just has a really good rapport with Yainer Diaz, it could pay dividends for him. So I'm going to go Ronel Blanco because, I mean, from what we've seen so far, I have no reason to believe otherwise.
If Ronel does win the Astros Cy Young or the Astros Pitcher of the Year, it'll be the second best day that he's had all year when he – because you get a guy that has a child, throws a great game, and then finds out he's on the roster all in one day. That counts as a good day.
Man, I know. How do you have a better day than that, you know?
unless it's in the World Series. I mean, you know, that's about true. It.
But honestly, like, if he ever has another kid, the Astros are going to have to do something. They're going to have to give him some kind of news on that day. We can't just have good news on the day he has his child for one of them, you know?
He and Singleton are the two feel-good stories of camp.
Oh, man, they really are. They've been such great. It's just been great stories for the both of them. And you get to see Ronel Blanco walking off the field feeling good. It always makes you feel good, too. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to this team. With that starting rotation and with getting that roster spot, I think it's gonna be awesome.
When he walked off the field last night, his feet were barely touching the ground.
Oh, absolutely!
just the look on his face.
Just floating.
That was just terrific.
You love it. and I will say, I will go with a dark horse instead of a hot take on this one. I think that this will be Jose Abreu's bounce back year. I am very hopeful that with him feeling a lot healthier coming into the season than he did last year, that he's really going to step it up. And I think that there is a really good chance he can actually impress some Astros fans. I know people were so pissed whenever they, you know, didn't re-sign Yuli and signed Abreu, but they signed him for a reason. And Bagwell and Jim Crane, I mean, they saw something in this guy, and I hope that this season is the season that he delivers. So I think he's going to be kind of my dark horse for the season that I think is really going to turn some heads, and I hope I'm right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If people were upset about Abreu's numbers, they really would have been upset if they'd seen Yuli's numbers. Like,
oh yeah,
Yuli had the lowest OPS of any regular in baseball. I think his OPS was like 650. It was terrible.
It was rough. It was a rough season for him last year.
He hit down in the low twos and had like five home runs and 20 something RBIs. He gave it one more year, but he was done.
Yeah. You know, and I think too, the thing that you always hear from other players from his coaches is that out of all the players on the team, they feel like he is probably the hardest working of all of them, that he is one of those guys that is consistently in the cage. And when he's going through a rut, they kind of have to pull him out of there to be like, hey man, give your body a break. Like, yeah, you're going to figure it out. It's going to be fine. Like, give it a break. So,
and to Abreu's credit, last night, last year, he had back trouble. He was hurt and he never said anything. Having some rough times. He just went out and played and he just said, I haven't been good.
Yep. He gave no excuses and I appreciated that.
Yeah, you love that. My Cy Young, I'm going to say it's going to be Javier.
I think what we're seeing with
Javier is the high fastball is riding again. They had said last year his mechanics got out of whack and he was leaning too far forward, and he needed to be more up and down to get that ball, to get under that ball a little bit and ride it. So far, he had one spring start that wasn't great. You know, but then again, you look at some of the great pitchers of all time. We got like a Sandy Koufax. You know, he wins a Cy Young. He's 27-9. He lost 9 games. How, I don't know, but he lost 9 games. But, you know, he just you wouldn't know by looking at him because they don't call him El Reptile for nothing. But it seems like mm-hmm. he's got it figured out. I hope so. We said it several times on these shows. The Astros played 20 games in 21 days. That is an anomaly in April. It seems like in April, you'll typically play 7, 8, 9 games, get a day off. 5, 6 games, get a day off, and where the schedule allows you to work yourself into the season.
Mm-hmm.
This one's not. You look at who the Astros are playing to start off with. You know, it starts off with the Yankees. And it starts off with the Yankees, and then it goes the Blue Jays. Then we go to the Rangers. We've got the Royals. Then we have the Rangers at home, and then we have the Braves at home. Thank you, Rob Manfred.
You know, hey, he's starting us off hot. He's going to make us work for it this year. That's for damn sure.
you get out of that schedule, and you're, let's see, that's 20 games, and you're 12-8, 11-9. You know, and someone else hadn't pulled off a 16-4 that you're not chasing all the time. You know, that'll be okay. That'll be okay. My MVP, you know, I could certainly go with Bregman. I'd say Bregman really has the motivation to do this. So I'm going to say Bregman. Which leads into kind of my hot take is I think they signed both Bregman and Tucker before the end of the season.
Ooh, that is a hot take.
I think, Bregman has said they haven't spoken or they haven't had an offer. You got to be careful to parse that because there's Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, Steve. All I'm saying, though, is if I don't see a home run sprint again this year, we riot. I need the sprint.
Steve, how's things in KL? The, I think that just because they haven't had an offer doesn't mean they haven't talked about the parameters of a deal.
True.
I mean, you were in the office, and you wouldn't get details, but I'm sure there was some hall talk that went on that says
you hear
they're
things.
Talking. Yeah.
If you have friends in the right departments, you hear things.
Yeah.
And I had friends in all the departments. No one ever said explicitly things, but they'd be like, yeah, we're talking to a guy. And I'm like, is it a guy who wears the number 2? And they'd be like, I can't tell you.
but it's more than one and less than 3. Yeah, so anyway, I think they're going to try to get that done sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Tucker, I think.
That's a solid take.
They try to get it done all-star break time. You know, again, Tucker, I agree, Brian. I agree a lot. It says, all good in Asia. Thanks. Friday morning opening day here. That is a fact.
Goodness.
Yeah, I think to Brian's comment, I think if it happens before June, it happens. If it mm-hmm. doesn't happen by June, he's playing it out.
Yep. It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. And one of the things that changes the thing with Tucker, even though you don't want to give Tucker up, we don't have third basemen. We have outfielders. None of them are going to be as good as Tucker, but you've got functional people that can play the position.
True.
Final thoughts. It's
going to be an interesting year. Man, for my final thoughts. So I actually got to go see The View from my seats the other day. And I made a joke about it being the cheap seats and people were so sweet about it. They were like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in the ballpark. And I was like, I know, I was kind of kidding, but thank you. But it was so cool seeing how everyone was so excited for me. And I mean, again, like it's one of those dreams come true where I'm like, you know what? I know that any game I want to go to this year, like I got 315 row 9 seat 9 and that is mine. Which is such a cool thing to say. Again, I never thought I'd get here. And like, I was already talking to my mom this morning. We were talking about next year, like if things go well this year, like maybe they buy a second seat and like whenever they want to come to games, we can like kind of mix and match some games and stuff. So super excited to be there for as many games as humanly possible. I will not be making all 81 because I'm already missing Saturday and Sunday, but still very excited about the season, excited about opening day. I truly don't think I can sleep tonight. It's going to be one of those nights. And yeah, I think it's going to be an incredible season. I think the Astros are going to finish the division at the top again. I think we just have a really good makeup for a really good team. And if the guys can stay healthy, if we can get some of these pitchers back, I think it's going to be huge. But yeah, I'm excited.
Backtracking just a bit. I do think the Astros win. I think they'll be somewhere as long as the starting pitching holds up. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Montero, you know, Abreu's not been great in the spring. Wouldn't be the first people that had bad springs and turned it around. Montero's more of a concern because of last year. Mm-hmm. I think the Astros win 94 games. I think the Mariners win 93. I think the Rangers win 90, but they could be less if their pitching falls apart. You know, their starting pitching actually was pretty good last year.
Yeah. As
we've talked a number of times. They caught a break with the playoff schedule. Their starting pitcher was good, and so they didn't have to expose the Achilles heel of their bullpen. I think the Twins win the Central. Baltimore wins in the East. Baltimore won't win as many as they did last year, but they'll be probably in the 95. The thing with Baltimore, it's going to be interesting, is so many teams can do well when they're not expected to do well.
Mm-hmm.
You were around the Astros when they weren't good. Nothing was expected. And I imagine it was a totally different feel when they say, okay, we're expected to be pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. I think 2013, there was obviously zero pressure to win anything. Yeah. We were just happy if they didn't lose 100 games in 2014. So, you know, really small miracles there. And then 2015 happened, and it was kind of that spark of like, hey, this is what it could feel like. And I remember the disappointment in 2016 when we didn't make it. And everyone in the office was like, but we were so close, like it could have been us. And it was, you know, after you get that first taste of even a little bit of getting there, you want to feel it all the time. It sounds like a terrible analogy, but it's so addicting. It really is. That winning feeling, that feeling of going to the postseason all the time, like you just want that more and more and more. And the Astros have that mindset all day, every day. They have since 2015. They wanted to be in the playoffs in 2016, obviously didn't make it. And then 2017, it's been off to the races since then. I think not making the playoffs is, for the Astros and their mindset, like never an option anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the mindset that Joe Espada is definitely making sure that team keeps, because he's been, you know, obviously the bench coach for a hot minute. He's been part of the staff for the entirety of that span. And so he's ready. He's excited and he's making the players feel that way too.
Yeah. I like what the vibe that Espada's put off. I think the wild cards, you got the Yankees. I don't think anybody comes out of the Central. I think, you know, the Rangers and the Mariners probably. That's kind of a chalk pick. Not too many hot takes. A lot of people are saying the Tigers are going to be better. I'm not sold on their lineup. Javi Baez is just not any good. He's just completely gone down the hill.
He really has.
You've got the NL East. You know, the Braves probably win about 98-100 games. You've got the Cubs probably in the Central. Philly comes out of the wild card in the East. Although, you know, Philly gets hot. They've got a decent enough lineup. You get a few injuries here and there. The one thing with the Braves, you know, their rotation doesn't have a lot of depth to it. They lose a couple of starters, they're in trouble.
True.
You've got in the West, what's going to be the Dodgers until the Dodgers don't. But the Dodgers' infield defense is really bad. I mean, Max Muncy is a total butcher at third base. You know, he made some at third in that Padres series. There are a couple of, you know, he's given it the best that he can, but, you know, he's a 2 day a week kind of player. Mookie Betts, you can't tell me Mookie Betts can go from right field to second base and shortstop and be a plus defender. They put Gavin Lux at second base because he can't make the throw to first base. You know, those are facts. They've got lots of star power. They're really top heavy. You know, but when it comes down, they've got a couple of pitchers that tend to get hurt. Bueller's supposed to be coming back. Every time I think about Bueller, I think, Bueller?
How can you not?
Bueller? That's one I haven't seen that I need to go see. Before we were talking about movies we hadn't seen. I have never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They should win the West. San Francisco, maybe. Diamondbacks should be there, but the NL is much more of a bit of a mess than the AL is. The AL seems to be pretty cut and dried, and watch it all turn upside down.
It always does.
My final thought, kind of an interesting.
Ooh, actually, before your final thought, we do have a comment from Bad Luck Brian again.
Thank you.
2015 was an underrated season. It was disappointing that we didn't beat the Royals in the ALDS, though. 1,000%, Brian. I kid you not. I cried on the way home from Pluckers when we didn't beat them. I was like furious because we had it in the bag in game four. And then that ball, like Correa booted it. And it just, poor guy, it was his rookie season. And it was rough. And we were right there. We were right on the cusp of going to the ALCS. As a team that was not supposed to be there at all. So super underrated season. I felt all the emotions of that. And I always told myself I would never cry again over baseball after 2017. And then I cried over the no-hitter with Fromber, but for good reasons this time and not for sad reasons. So I refuse to cry about sad baseball things now. It's my motto in life.
My boss at the time was a Kansas City Royals fan. And I had to put my tail between my legs because at the start of the eighth inning, I was telling him it was all over. And then they got about six hits in a row.
No, Wally, no.
Yeah, that's why I don't do that often. Here's an interesting tidbit. Opening day ticket prices. Let's see. You've got the Cubs, Rangers, Nationals, Reds. Mets, Brewers, I won't go through all of them, but the highest price ticket is the Cubs at the Rangers. Cheapest via seat by a tick pit. Tick pick. Cubs at Rangers, 285. Rangers are celebrating. The Cubs are always a good draw. A few of them down there. You've got the Braves at Phillies at 147. Interestingly enough, the Nationals and Reds are second at 164. The Yankees and the Astros are 83. And the cheapest ticket, this should not shock you at all, at $13, the Pirates and the Marlins. $13. I can remember living down in Miami, unless it was a World Series game, man, nobody went to the Marlins games.
Oh, man. I'm actually hopefully going to see a Marlins game this year just to check that ballpark off the list, you know, and I can't wait. I'm not going to lie.
Keep up those Ohtani. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. For what he's saying, whenever people put something out on Twitter, this whole Ohtani thing, we could put a whole show in on this, but the whole thing just makes zero sense. I mean, it almost sounds like when you've had kids and they start telling you a lie and you know they're not telling the truth because they get these big wide eyes, you know, and they try to keep not changing their expression and their bodies get real stiff. And it's like, yeah, come on now. But okay, the worst part about that Marlins game, Marlins Stadium, It is built right on top of where the Orange Bowl used to be.
Oof.
And I went to graduate school at the University of Miami during the days of the U. I was there in 89 and 90.
Oh,
and
man.
If you Google 3rd and 43 in YouTube against Notre Dame, I was at that game.
Wow.
And it was electric. The Orange Bowl is such a cool college stadium. The city of Miami and the university, Donna Shalala in particular, just screwed that whole thing up. They raised it. They put this disco stadium down in Miami that it's no one goes to the games. It's just there's just no draw. But you'll enjoy Miami before you go. I'll tell you a few places to go because Miami Coral Gables is really cool. Really cool.
I'm in for suggestions.
Oh, yeah. Miami's neat. What else?
That's all I had as far as final thoughts. I know we are super excited for the season to start tomorrow. So happy opening day eve, folks. I hope everyone has an amazing night. And Wally.
That's it. The only thing we're missing is we should have had champagne. We should have had a champagne toast prop.
Funny enough, I actually have champagne in my fridge, and I'm going to drink it later. So it is
we'll
rosé
it
champagne,
we
though.
The first one.
There we go.
Okay. For Stadium Steffi, thanks, everybody. We've got about 158 people watching right now live. We really do appreciate it. Send the comments. Let us know how you feel. You can DM us and let us know how you feel. Is there anything you'd like to know? If there's any questions you have, even between pods, that's one of the ways that we get some of our ideas. So good luck to the Astros. Look to all our fans.
One final thing before we go. I know that Rob mentioned this, I think, on our last show with the whole squad, but he and I will be teaming up for another project with Pro Sports Fans for PSF, doing a bunch of different live shows throughout the season. So super excited to be doing another project with Rob. We hope to make it fun and interactive and make sure that we are getting everyone's excitement up for the season. So we look forward to seeing you on the PSF app for views from the cheap seats.
Yeah, so up to 159. Thanks, everybody, and good luck to the Astros and happy opening day.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.